Such a blessing. Regarding the become what God intent, we had reflection and input last Sunday, and based upon people's input, it seemed like majority of people want to have a resume the cell group. So Irene sent out a survey about when will be good and do we want to have cell group. So we are in the process of doing that. And we probably do this become what God intended in the cell group context. So just we'll keep you posted. We need your input. We need your volunteer to participate. As I say, you know, it's a journey. Amen. We not just learn some information only. We want to experience Father's love. We want to sense the worthiness despite whatever the life is. Last Sunday, I just wonder, anybody still remember my first sermon a year turning around, what I was talking about? How many of you were here last Sunday? Okay. What did I talk about? It's in order, you know, to really have year turning around, we need to back to the basic, right? It's a connection, right? It's remain in Christ, right? And that in today's announcement, there's two here. Two commitment is remain in God's word daily and the keeping Christ's commands. You know, remain in Christ can be very vague. You know, how can you remain in Christ? Then you remain in the word of God. God can instruct you, refine you through his word, remind you, right? And also obey to Christ's commands. Today we will continue. If we really have an ear turning around, really as the promise here, say Isaiah, you know, there's a replacement. The beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, if there will be that replacement, we'll have that breakthrough. Then another thing is very important. We need to turn around is to know our true worth. Amen? It's very important to know your true worth. Okay, let's start with the world's way of determines one's worth. How does this world to determine a person's worth? Okay. That's the same thing. Yes. The thing you have, right? The thing you possess. This world determine a person's worth actually start with the physical appearance, right? You're tall, you're short, you're beautiful, you're average, you know? That's pretty important in a way. And then is determined by your position, right? What do you have? And the accomplishment. It's simple like that, right? That's how they determine. Actually, many times, what kind of car you drive, right? Not just what kind of car, is which year you're driving. It's a very nice car, very old. And also the neighborhood you live. And more than that is the job, right? It's the position in the company. So that determine, that's a world to determine one's worth and value. But the problem is, all this determination is relative, right? It's by comparing, right? Comparing with others. It's not stable. When you are kind of quote-unquote successful, maybe you feel good about your worth. But how about when we fail? You know, life is up and down all the time. You never know. So perhaps we wonder, what measure do we use to set a standard for worth or worthlessness, you know. Sometimes we see people, no matter how successful they are, how good-looking they are, they all struggle with this, right? How worthy I am. So what are the measure we use to set a standard for worth or worthlessness? Actually, self-worth or how you feel about your worth, about yourself, is not really derived from you, but it's actually based upon how we perceive those significant others value us. right? Like our parents, like our teacher, authority in our life, how they view us will shape how we see our worthiness or not. Amen? That's why the original family is so important. It shapes us. That's why our upbringing. And that's why we need a transformation, right? We from our original family, no one's original family is perfect, is totally healthy. Many of them are dysfunctional, right? That's why all have sinned, for sure. Glory of God. We all come from a family with all the shortcomings, so that affect our perspective, our worthiness. But thank God we do have a source that's a reliable and trustworthy, and the one major reliable source is how God view us. How God view us. Today I'd like to share with you about that. Let's come to my second point, God's view of our worth. What is God's view of our worth? Depends, right? Which stage, right? Yeah, his son, right? That's ultimately John chapter 3:16. In the book of Romans chapter 5, Apostle Paul painted a vivid picture of what each human being is worth to God. But in order to know what's going on in chapter 5, you need to read from chapter 1 to chapter 5, right? And the book of Romans is a book about Christianity, Christian faith. It's a theological book. Explain the value of Christianity. The first four chapters provide a backdrop for what follows in chapter 5. The first chapter gives an account of the weakness of the whole mankind and express God's anger about it. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 tell us no matter how religious you are, how moral you are, is as guilty as those without excuse before God. Just like Romans chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. Summarize, as it is written, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. Then we see here, Apostle Paul depicts the power of gospel, that God's righteousness becomes our righteousness when we accept God as accept Christ as God's gift. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 to 25 explain the value of Christ's payment for us. We're supposed to die because we sin, right? But Christ died in our place. Our sin triggered the sentence of death, but someone had to pay the penalty. Only Jesus Christ was capable to completely satisfy the just demands of a holy God. When we study the Romans chapter 1 through chapter 5, in a sense, chapter 5 could be directly linked to chapter 3, which introduced what salvation means to be Christians. The forgiveness described in chapter 3, first developed by the word God gave us in chapter 5. So what is God's view of our worth? Romans chapter 5 tells us we are worth more to God than time. God's love for us is high quality. It transcends time. Sometimes we wonder, well, I lost my salvation. Time does not control God's love. God's law overrules time. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 2 shows how God's law affects our relationship to time. We notice that law we are involved in has implications for the past, the present, and the future. In the Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, you read. How about let's read together? Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. So, you know, in the past, we have been justified through faith, right? You have received Jesus as Savior and the Lord. You've already been justified. You've been counted as righteous. That's in the past. What's the present? You have peace, right? We have peace. We come to the Lord. What's the future? We have hope, right? Is that right? In the future, we will participate in the glory of God. God's love is not limited by time. It's not defined by time. But we are limited by time, right? I almost want to wear my reading glasses this morning because some words too small. We are limited by time. We are defined by time. And our service will complete by 11 a.m. We are living in the time and space. But God is not limited by time. He loves you forever. Is that wonderful? He loves you today, yesterday, and tomorrow, and forever. Real love, God's love, is not defined by time, but by the depth of relationship. That's so important. We have to develop relationship with Him. Relationship with Him. God's law transcends dimensional time. Also in chapter 5, Apostle Paul points out another thing is God's love is greater than our problems, our trials. Is that true? I think I appreciate Christina sharing just now. You know, it's easy to say, oh, seek first His kingdom and righteousness. All this thing will be added unto you. When everything is okay, you have enough income, you know, it's easy to say that. But when you come to the real life, you need the money. You need a success. And the success is on Sunday. Conflict with the time. You know, dear brothers and sisters, it's not just attending church on Sunday. There'll be all kind of tests and temptation, right? In the business, in our real life. And then we need to make a choice. It's our relationship with God, it's our belief in God, our faith in Him. So in the Romans chapter 5 also tells us what's our worth to God. It's God's love is greater than our problems. Here we see Paul transition from talking about how God's law is greater than time to how the problem of life should never be used to define the depth of God's love. Do we face problems in our life? Maybe if we open the floor for people to share what's the problem you faced this past week? We probably have a lot of sharings, all right? Some people maybe not. Good, if you're problem-free for the season. But our brother Rogelio and Cindy, I asked their daughter, how are they doing? They're sick. You know, this time the flu is very strong, right? And many people knock out for 1 week, 2 weeks, keep on coughing. There's a trouble and problem in life, losing a job, financially stretched, marital strain, rejection by friends, you know, the stress to meet the deadline, our value or adequacy, any problem we are facing as Christian, but Apostle Paul say we can boast about. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, he say, and not only, but also we are boasting in our particular trouble or tribulation. And why? Why can we boast? Why are we facing problem, challenge, tribulation in life, we can boast. Boast what boast about? Because in every problem we are facing, God will utilize that to build a Christ-likeness unto us. Many people quote Romans chapter 8, 28. The all things work together for good, for those who love the Lord. And then you continue to read the verses after that. Verse 29, 20, and 30 talk about those who love the Lord. He say, actually, he called them to become Christ-like. We don't suffer in vain. We don't just face a problem in our life and try to solve the problem. God utilizes every opportunity in our life to bring us to conform into the image of Christ, his Son. So that's why we can boast. That's why God's law is greater than our problem, because a lot of times when we're facing different problems, we just wonder, does God love me or not? Right? If God loved me, why he allowed this to happen to me? Isn't that a common question we ask when we face the difficulty? What is God's view of our worth? God's view of our worth demonstrates through, thirdly, we see God's love strategically timed. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Let's read that together. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. The Greek language used two different words for time. One is kairos, and other is chronos. A watch used chronos time, right? Right now it's 10:30. That's chronos time. But another word is kairos, opportune time. I think I give you an example. I was married in 1983. Okay? According to the calendar, that's a chronos time. But to Marlene and I, that's a kairos time, a strategic, important time to our life. And Romans chapter 5, verse 6, say here, in the strategic, important time, while we were still what? Sinners, ungodly, God-haters. While we are in the lowest point, while we were so unfriendly, totally against him, and he died for me. He died for us. That shows what? That shows his love for us, right? God can choose any season that his son to die for us. If we have think about four seasons, spring, summer, fall, winter, God chose winter time. The time we cannot do anything for him, and his son died for you and me. Does that show something? That show deeply our worth, right? Our value to him. It's not what we are doing, what we can become, but just who we are. Amen? Amen. When we had the least to offer, God offered the Son. God's love, strategically time show, God's love for us is unconditional. God's driving home a very important truth here. God does not love us for what we will become or what he's going to turn us into. That's what we used to be, right? We, in the mankind mindset, we always say, we love you, we want you, we hope you can become this and this. As a parents, right? We want you, we hope. But God loves us not because he wants us to be godly so he will love us. He loves us anyway. That's hard to understand. Is that right? That's why the unconditional love is unconditional acceptance. As I shared in the beginning, you know, dear brother and sister, it is a journey. God's love doesn't make sense to us, right? Many times we ourselves cannot accept ourselves. We look at ourselves. But God accepts us. It's unconditional. This is the whole point of the passage. God picked a strategic time to allow his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, thereby proving our worth to him. God's law is not based upon right or wrong. It is not what we will become is based upon who we are to Him. Have you seen that kind of love? Anyone share that? Agape love, unconditional love. Thank you for sharing. I think we probably that's why I say it's a journey. You know, I do invite each one of you. I invite myself in this coming year. In every realm of life, we start to realize, I'm going to come to that point, how we respond to this kind of acceptance, God's love for us. In the different area of life, we start to respond to our Father about His love. I think that maybe that comes closer to God's agape love, unconditional acceptance of us, is a mother's love, right? Mother's love for their children. Mothers. A lot of mothers. I heard a story after story. I look at my wife, told JJ, told Christina. I don't know, I share with you or not last Sunday probably. Christina was pregnant for 4 months and found out baby was dead. So it was devastating to her and my son-in-law CJ, and immediately my wife informed me I would stay there, stay longer, to help them, and took care of the two grandchildren, and so they can really follow up with the things, and it just so much love. And she texted me the picture about take care of them, and really appreciate the community there. So many people brought a free dinner to Christina and CJ, brought to the front door. And my wife texted me, sent me the picture last night. I envy that. I hardly have not much to eat at home. That's a very nice meal over there. I think maybe come closer is a mom. Many mothers, their love for their children. Maybe some fathers too. But God loves us. So what is the truth worth? What is our true worth? And not based upon performance, accomplishment, what we have, what we possess, our physical appearance, because those change, those through comparison. But because our true worth contingent upon is how God receives us. God's view of us, we are precious in His eyes. Let's come to the epic. What is God's view of our worth? God's view of our worth a son. Amen. His son died on the cross for us. Because His son. God defined His love for us at our weakest point. And He paid a precious price so that we will understand He only wants us. Even though God paid His extravagant price for us, we are still, we even don't understand that. We even don't buy in that. The person that Christ died for is unknown even to ourselves, because we are struggle with guilt, with shame, and weakness. We look at ourselves, we don't feel we deserve it. But that's called grace. Amen? That's called amazing grace. So God's view of our worth is worth a son to Him, just as we are. I don't know how touched are you when you hear that? Our worth God a son. Jesus died for you and me. Think about that. Experience that in the days to come. So, what will be our response? First, subjective love from God is unforgettable. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8, objectively illustrate that, the timing, strategic timing. We can respond to God's subjective love for us by looking at cross always, right? Not looking at the circumstance. Circumstance go up and down. But we look at the cross, point to what God has sacrificed for us. How should we respond? Maybe we are not used to. We are not used to God's love. God just accepts the way we are. We are not used to that. But we can start to learn. We can start to learn to dance, to jump before Him, say, celebrate, yes, God accept me. Can we say that? Yes. God accept me the way I am. I know you're not that excited. This is something beyond human mind. I struggle with this too. We struggle together. It's not performance oriented. It's relationship. God accept the way you are. So we need to learn to jump, to shout and say, yes, God love me. He not just love me, He like me. We need to make this as a habit to continue to tell us, yes, God accept me the way I am. Agree? Also, I share God's law has implication for the past, the present, and the future. When we face circumstances that cause us to doubt our worth, we should ask ourselves the question, what am I worth? And then let our hearts respond, I am worth a son. I am worth Jesus Christ. Amen? John 3:16, that's the objective data, objective promise. God so loved you and me. He's saying His only begotten Son. Fourthly, how should we respond? We can face any problem, any trial with assurance. When we are sick, when our marriage is struggle, when we are stressed out with daily grind and deadline, remind ourselves what we are really worth. We can rejoice, we can celebrate, whether we succeed or fail. Because we know what we are worth. We're worth a son to God. Amen? Do you feel this is just a nice motivating words only? Or this is the word from the Lord? It's a promise. It's a profound love song. We need to sing this again and again. Amen? What is your worth? What is my worth? Is worth God a son to die for you and me so we have an abundant life, so our life can be changed, so this year can be turned around. I think knowing our worth is so important. We unavoidably, because our original family, our upbringing, maybe our perspective, our self, the self-worth, our value is not correct, not complete. It's contingent upon many things. But this is a journey of transformation. You start to know we're worth so much to God. He accepts the way we are. It's so crucial. And that's the turning point. And I try to share with you this morning, and this is not an easy sharing, because I myself try to learn about this, try to learn of this in the life. I think we all face all kind of challenging life. We fail here and there. We know our shortcoming. We have a conflict with people, have broken relationship, have sickness, all kind of things. Sometimes make us insecure about our true worth, true value. Amen? And that's why we need to return to the word of the Lord. And today I list many scriptures here. And finally, let's read 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we shall be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. What a great love, what a great love the Father has lavished, poured on us, that caused Him a Son to die for you and me. Let's experience that in our daily life. Amen? Let's experience that, and I expect many testimony from people how you experience God's view of your worth in your daily life. How about let's pray? How about we have some quiet time before the Lord about today's message? Maybe you ask the Lord, ask the Spirit to show you where are there some area you really need to accept yourself as God accepts you. You need to see yourself as Father see you, view you. How about we have some time, in a couple of minutes, we just be quiet before the Lord. Father, we can ask you to continue to work among us, within us. You speak to us, to each one of us, that you are so, we are so precious to you. You speak to us in the area, the things. We need to surrender. We need be aligned, realigned, the same perspective of you. I just wonder, as we wait upon the Lord just now, there's anything you'd like to share with this group that you feel the Lord kind of teach you in that area. You need to learn to accept yourself as the Lord accepts you and see you. Anyone like to share and can share a few words? Yes.
Six minutes ago, I had the impulse to want to come up and share, but I didn't. But since he's asking, today's message, I just get flashbacks from my whole life. And that is, I remember being just a carefree child at 8 and watching Spider-Man and playing baseball and not being Chinese and no pressure to perform with grades and just lots of TV and fun. And it was just about sports, and so my value came from my ability to be one of the best in baseball or football. And then something started to happen when I was 16 or 17. Well, besides hormones, it was attractive girls, and then you perform by being able to date well and go beyond dating, because that was my value, my worth, and I was pretty good at that. So the failures I had in sports was replaced by dating pretty girls. And then something happened in high school where, again, not being Chinese, I didn't have to perform well, just had a B. But then I started bumping into really smart people that were Chinese or Indians. And I thought, I better work a little harder at this. Somehow I got into college, and somehow I got through. I thought that's how I was supposed to perform. And I managed to get through. But I was always a B-plus guy. I had a few A's, but all my worth was sports, girls, kind of grades, but they were kind of boring. And then it was like, time to graduate and make money. So it's like, but you know, it's kind of awkward. You fall back on your failures. I started to fail in my first job in real estate, commuting from Berkeley to San Jose. And so I fell back on my safety net, which was girls. So got married early. It was the first time I started to face a little rejection. And then I let fears come into me. And didn't want Alice to go. And so probably got married for the wrong reasons. And the first half of my life, it was about performing according to the world standards. And then thanks to Joseph, after a divorce, he wanted to teach me God's value 30 years ago or so. And so I started, you know, hearing this stuff about Jesus and sin. And it got my attention. And so I just bought a book this week called Halftime, written by a guy named Buford. And how most of us seek success, but not necessarily significance. And so I was kind of flipping through that. I'm only at the foreword today, so I don't have much to share other than a lot of us look for just comfort and success, but Buford, being a devout Christian, is just talking about how we need to seek significance in our life with God. And so it's nice to be able to sit here and worship with Dan and Irene and Toby. How beautiful was that? I mean, that was wonderful. I mean, that was really, really good. It felt good. I felt like I'm worth something. I mean, those words are powerful. They're truthful. And it's just amazing how a guy like me, 52, his perspectives have been changed by Jesus. So I can ramble on, but I won't. But it's... I am worth a son, and you are worth a daughter or son. God is good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. Yeah. Patrick, you can share the area, you know, that God tried to realign you about your worth.
Thank you. I was praying to God whole week last week. I said, well, what can I do for you, Lord? I want to work for you. Because I'm an employee, so I got lots of time to work for the Lord. And God said, you have been playing with your grandson 5 minutes and you are out of breath. You are not taking care of your health. How can you help me? How can you work for me? Go take care of your health. Then it dawned on me, I said, yes. God wants us to take care of our health. It's not only our physical health, our mental health, and also our spiritual health. So that's why we come to church. That's why we study the Bible. Thank you.
I saw another hand just now. Anyone else? Yes.
So I was thinking about self-worth and reflecting back in my life in two critical periods of my life where I had good reason to doubt my self-worth because I was living not according to my values and upset at myself. The first time, I didn't know God's character. So that period of doubt was awful, where I really didn't like myself and avoided people in elevators because I thought, if I don't like myself, it's written all over my face, and it's so humiliating to be standing this close to somebody who knows that I don't like myself, so I'm going to take the stairs. It was that bad. But then the second time in my life, I had already previously spent a chunk of time, about 4 months, where I said to God, I'm going to spend 2 hours every morning with you. And at the outset, it sounded ridiculously a lot. But I got up at sunrise, went hiking into the hills, watched all the different shades of colors change moment by moment, and realized that 2 hours didn't seem too long. So I did that for 4 months. And that really transformed my understanding of who God thought about me. So ever since that period, the knowledge of being royalty and God's precious daughter, he never doesn't have time for me. Everything is at my disposal, everything good from him. So that the second time I had my period of self-doubt and worth, I really didn't go down that really dark slope because I had the Lord to go to instead of running from God. So I'm really glad that in that second period, I knew who I was to God and I could tell him everything. And he was always there to listen, be patient. So I think I would encourage you, if you really haven't figured out your identity to the Lord, take time to do that. Take time to sit at his feet and ask God, what do you think? What do you feel? It changed my life. So that's what I want to share.
I think that Dr. Ekman's book is very helpful, too. There's a lot of scripture there, and very systematic present. You know, it's very helpful. We need the truth for transformation. I think maybe next Sunday, the more people can share. It's a journey. Amen? Let's arise. We conclude with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your guidance in our life and the journey. We just pray you continue to lead us and that we can start to respond to your love, your unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, because we are so worthy to you, not because what we have done, but because what you have done for us. We just pray, Lord, you bless each one of us for the rest of the day. We continue this journey. We continue to testify to your love, to ourselves, to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have a blessed day.